Well, we are in our fourth Sunday of Lent, just a little over 2.5 weeks left until we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And to begin this homily, I first have to address one issue in order to eliminate many questions after Mass, is why I'm wearing glasses. And so I normally wear contacts, what I've been wearing since I was like 14, but I'm getting LASIK this coming Thursday, and so they tell you that you have to wear glasses for the week beforehand so that your eyes are nice and fresh for the lasers. And so on Thursday, I'll go in and get my vision corrected. And I'm very excited, and it's been amazing because since Thursday, as I've been wearing these glasses, I've had many questions. Right after Mass, people see me, they'll ask, oh, did you get new glasses? Or in the school, I swear every single kid, all 560 of them, were asking me why I'm wearing glasses. And so the reason I say this is because it's amazing. Prior to this last Thursday, when I was wearing these glasses, I only knew two people in my entire world, my life, that had gotten LASIK. One cousin of mine, and then a good friend, and they both got it done like 15 years ago. Two people that I've known. Since Thursday, just a few days, I now think I know over 100 people who've gotten LASIK. Because as soon as I tell people I'm going to get this procedure, all of a sudden people start popping up, right? And they start saying, oh yeah, I got it done 10 years ago, or I got it done 15 years ago, I got it done 20 years ago. And so people letting me know that they too got this done. And across the board, every person who has had it done has said amazing things. They say, oh my gosh, it was the greatest thing I ever did. Oh my gosh, you're gonna be great. Don't worry about it. Nothing to be afraid of. It's so quick, you know, like 30 seconds an eye and you can see perfectly. And so it's been so encouraging. And then there's the other people who walk up to me who haven't gotten it done. And they go, oh my gosh, you're gonna get LASIK done? I go, yeah. They go, so they're gonna like take lasers and like open up your eyelid, right? And like do things? Yeah, they're gonna fix my vision. And they go, oh my gosh, that sounds so scary. I could never do that. Oh my gosh, that's frightening. Aren't you scared? Well, I wasn't beforehand, but I guess I am now. Thank you for the encouragement. And the reason I say this is because truly what I was kind of recognizing over those few days of these people coming up, these mixed emotions of the people who were like, oh my gosh, aren't you afraid, to the people who got it done and said, oh my gosh, this was amazing, is I realized that these people were just scattered around in this world. And then I found out who they were. I think this is a beautiful image for often our own Christian faith. That often we have our faith, we recognize how great it is, it's maybe transformed our lives, and we just kind of hide it. We don't really talk about it. Right? It maybe has done incredible things in our lives, maybe it saved us from that depression or from that tragedy in my life. I just had this amazing encounter with our Lord. And how often do I truly share that? How many other people do I encourage in this Christian path? You know, when I was going through seminary, it was incredible. Across the board, when I would meet priests, every single priest would say to me, keep going, keep going. It's an amazing life. You're going to love being a priest. Keep going, work hard, keep going, keep going. And too often, other vocations, right, in our society, often like the vocation, the beautiful vocation of marriage, has this like stigma that, oh my gosh, you're getting married, right? The old ball and chain, you know, your life's, right? It's going to be so different, so difficult and so hard, and there's not joy surrounded. How much more beautiful would this vocation be, marriage be, and more happy marriages exist if other people who are married would go, oh my gosh, yes, it's hard, yes, it's difficult at days, but gosh, I have these beautiful children, and now we are, my husband and I, we've gone through so much, but here we are on the other side, and yes, it's been difficult, but the Lord will continue to work. Oh my gosh, we should be spreading that good news to other people. We should be that light, bringing that truth to others. And we know this exists. When you're at work and you're like eating lunch, all of a sudden you maybe hear the people at the other end of the table and there's like one guy or one lady saying, oh yeah, next Sunday is my child's first communion. And all of a sudden your ears perk up and you're like, oh, They're also Catholic. I had no idea. We've been working in the same office for 7 years, and I never knew that person was Catholic. And so now what happens? You're going to go probably talk to them and share your faith. It literally took that one little conversation for you not to be afraid and to talk about it. And that will probably now become your relationship, is you talking about God. What a gift. And so let's not be afraid to really assess where we are in our faith life, how it's transformed us, look over our lives, and not be afraid to really share that with others, to not be afraid to talk about it, because every human being in the world wants to talk about what's going on in their own heart. Everyone wants to be heard. Everyone wants someone else to experience their pain or their joy. And all we have to do is open the door and say, you know, this life, this journey with God has changed me. It's incredible. You too should not be afraid. And you know, when I was praying about this idea of encouraging others and being that light in the darkness that Jesus Christ talks about today, the Gospels talks about Jesus being that light in the darkness. What came to my mind was the story of a saint. And the saint, I actually don't know her name. She's an unknown saint. And she lived in China in the 1900s. And China in the 1900s was very anti-Catholic. Even today, the government's not a big fan of the Catholic Church. There's a lot of tension between the government and the church. And so in the 1900s, the soldiers were going into churches. They were told to go and destroy all the holy images in the Catholic churches, to destroy everything that resembled something holy, to destroy the altars, to break open the tabernacles, destroy those, rip down all the crucifixes, and get rid of everything. Just decimate everything that's in a church. Destroy it. And while you're destroying it, take hostage priests, hold them hostage or kill them, and then make little camps inside some of the churches. And so that's what they were commissioned to do. And so this happened in China. In this one church, people were in there praying and they witnessed this. The soldiers came in, they destroy all the holy images, they destroy the altar, they break open the tabernacle, hosts fall on the ground, they take down the crucifixes, they destroy everything that looks beautiful and holy and resembles God. And they take hostage the priest and they tie him up in the choir lofts and they start making their camp there. This one little girl saw this and she left. While this was all happening, she runs home and she tells her parents what happened. She's only about 11 years old. And she told her parents that when they were destroying everything, that the tabernacle broke open and that some of the hosts fell on the ground. And she had told her parents how tragic this was, right? Because we truly believe that Jesus Christ is present in that host. And if Jesus Christ is present, then we should be so reverent. We should be so aware of what's going on. If your own child had been attacked or fallen over somewhere, you would not leave them there to die. And so this girl recognized, I can't leave Jesus Christ on the floor there. And so this priest, who's in the choir loft, chained up, the next night saw this little girl come in through a little crack in the door that was broken open. And he said he watched her crawl through the church in the middle of the night as all the guards were sleeping. She crawled down the aisle. She went up into the sanctuary. She went to the tabernacle. And he said she prayed for an hour. And then after that hour of prayer, this time in the church in the 1900s, you can only receive by the mouth, and you can only receive once a day. And so among all the debris, all the dirt, the glass, the broken shards of the tabernacle, this little girl knelt down and she received Jesus on her tongue. She then left, she crawled to the sanctuary, crawled back down the aisle, went through the hole and left. The priest said he saw her do this the next day. She came in the middle of the night as the guards were sleeping. She crawled through the hole, went, crawled down the aisle, up the sanctuary, prayed for an hour. And then among the debris, the shards of glass, and the broken tabernacle, she leaned down, received the Eucharist on her tongue, and left. He says she did this for a total of 32 days to consume every single host. He said that last day she came in, she crawled down the front, went up the sanctuary among the debris, the glass, and the broken tabernacle. She received that last host after praying her hour of prayer. And as she crawled back out, she made too much noise. And the guards awoke and saw her in there and what she had done. They chased her down, and she became a martyr. They beat her to death. This little girl, for her faith. This priest witnessed this, and once he eventually escaped the church, he started sharing this little unknown saint's story to others. And it started converting thousands upon thousands of people in China to become Christians and to join the church. And eventually this story became so powerful that a young man named Fulton Sheen had heard this story, who eventually became Bishop Fulton Sheen. And when he heard this story, he said that he was so taken back by this little girl, this little 11-year-old's faith, and her ability to be so in love with Jesus Christ that she would risk her life and ultimately sacrifice her life for this truth of who Jesus Christ is, especially in the Eucharist. He said if she could go in there and risk her life, pray an hour every day, receive the Eucharist, and then die, he said, I will now devote every day 1 hour of prayer. He said, if she could do it among all of that, how much more able should I be able to do it in little Peoria, Illinois, where he lived? And so he said he never missed a day of that holy hour. His entire journey, his entire priesthood, he never missed a holy hour. And many of us know who Archbishop Fulton Sheen is. He eventually became, right, a bishop. And then he had a television show on NBC called Life is Worth Living. For like 6 years, he was the number one rated television show on NBC. He spoke to millions of people. He beat out every other television show. And he won 2 Emmys for Best TV Personality. This Catholic priest, this bishop in this secular world, had number one show and won 2 Emmys. Right there he is in his bishop garb sitting there at the ceremony to receive his Emmy. And we recognize this. Why did he have such success in his preaching? Why did he have such success in television and preach to millions of people? Was it just his personality? Was it just his way of speaking? No, it wasn't. Many people can speak well. Many people have charismatic personalities. What set him apart was the fact that he prayed an hour every single day. And what set him apart is he heard that story of that little girl who was the light in the darkness, among the chaos, among the destruction of the church, among the church being persecuted. She was not afraid to be the light in the darkness. And her little moment of 32 days of being the light in the darkness converted thousands of people and then ultimately millions, not just in China, but around this country, because she affected that one man, Bishop Fulton Sheen, who then affected millions. One light in the darkness transformed millions, millions of people. And so we recognize at this moment is that we too are called to be that light in the darkness. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it all comes down to prayer. Because nothing else really matters what we do if there's no prayer. We can do great works. We can give to the poor. We can donate to our church. We can visit the sick in the hospital or go to the nursing home or care for someone elderly who's in our family. We can adopt a foster child up in another country and send them money, or we can, you know, help package food and send it to other countries or go on mission trips. But if we are not men and women of prayer, that is simply social work. And many people can do social work, and those are good things. It does help people, but at the end of the day, if it's not connected to prayer and Jesus Christ, he says that last line of the gospel, that it really means nothing. Christ says that. In fact, I remember being in seminary, and a priest telling each one of us seminarians, he said, if you are not men of prayer, your priesthood is wasteful. He said, if you are not men of prayer, don't become a priest. He said, because if you're not a man who's praying, you just become a counselor, you just become a social worker. And that's a good thing. He said, but we've got tons of those. We need men of God who are going to preach the good news. We need men of God who are going to be shepherds and teach others how to pray. He said, that's what you're called to. He said that prayer life, that will transform hearts. That will transform people. And so we cannot do good works apart from our prayer life. And so we have to ask ourselves, how much am I praying before all else? How much do I pray daily? How much am I speaking to the Lord intimately every day? In private prayer, not just in the car, not just doing other things, but private prayer. And am I going to devote time daily and make a promise to the Lord? Yes. I will not miss a day. It will transform my life and everyone around me. Because if we truly do this, this is how our families, our workplaces, and this entire community and our lives will be transformed. It's the only way that it's possible. If you want your family to look different, then become holy. If you want your workplace to look different, become holy. If you want that family party that's going to be on Easter and you know none of them are practicing Catholics, or some of them maybe are anti-Catholic or even atheists and they don't like that you're practicing Catholic, if you want that to be transformed, be a man or woman of God. Because at the end of the day, we all know if we were in this church or any setting, if all of a sudden the Pope walked in the room, I don't care if you're Catholic, if you're atheist, agnostic, Buddhist, or you worship reiki stones, I don't care who you are. If the Pope walks in the room, you're going to go, okay, something's going on. Something is a big deal. Something's happening. If Mother Teresa walked in a room, I don't care if you're Catholic, atheist, agnostic, Buddhist, whatever you are, whatever you worship or do or don't believe, if Mother Teresa walked in a room, you'd go, okay, something's going on. Something special is here. And that's why she won the Nobel Peace Prize. Because the world recognized something special is here. And the Pope and canonized saints, that little girl and Mother Teresa, they're not supposed to be different than us. We're supposed to be like them because they were called to be like Christ. And so never say, I can't do that. No, you can and you should and you will through the power of prayer. And so we cannot be afraid today to not leave this church and just hear these words and go, that was nice, thank you, Father, and let nothing transform us. No, we have to make amends and say, I'm going to truly devote something and a good significant time to prayer daily, to be that light in the darkness. And in just a moment, we are going to receive the incarnate life of God, Jesus Christ's very self. His light will go into your darkness. He will transform your life. He will set you ablaze. And then you will go out and bring that light to the rest of the world. And so do not be afraid, because when you take up this ability to pray with our Lord and Jesus Christ, your vision will change. Your outlook on life will change. And you will truly see the goodness of how Christ can do all things.